Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Private Attorneys and Qualified Immunity Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 17, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Filarski v. Delia. The question in this case was whether a lawyer retained to assist government employees with an internal affairs investigation may, in a subsequent lawsuit against the lawyer arising out of the lawyer's conduct during the investigation, assert the qualified immunity defense available to government employees in such circumstances. In an opinion delivered by Chief Justice Roberts, the court held unanimously that the lawyer was entitled to the same qualified immunity from suit available to the government employees. Justice Ginsburg and Justice Sotomayor each filed a concurring opinion. To discuss the case, we have Frank Valenzuela, who is a member at Fanning, Harper, Martinson, Brannon, and Cutchin, P.C. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Valenzuela.
On April 17, 2012, in Filarski v. Delia, the U.S. Supreme Court decided whether an individual hired by the government to do its work is prohibited from seeking qualified immunity simply because he worked for the government on something other than on a permanent or full-time basis. A unanimous Supreme Court held that such an individual is not prohibited from seeking qualified immunity. Nicholas Delia was a firefighter employed by the city of Rialto, California. Delia became ill and, under doctor's orders, missed 3 weeks of work. The city became suspicious at the extended leave and hired an investigator to monitor Delia. The investigator saw Delia buy home improvement supplies, including rolls of insulation, while Delia was on leave. Based on this, the city assumed that the real reason for Delia to miss work was to do construction on his home, and it initiated a formal internal affairs investigation. As part of that investigation, Delia was required to sit for an investigative interview. Steve Filarski, a private, experienced employment lawyer who had previously represented the city in investigations, was hired by the city to conduct the interview. During the interview, Delia acknowledged that he had purchased the materials, but denied having done the work on his home. During a break, Filarski proposed to city personnel that the investigation be resolved by verifying Delia's claim that he had not done any work on his home. City personnel agreed, and when the meeting resumed, Filarski requested that Delia permit a fire department official to enter his home to see the materials. Delia refused. Filarski then asked if Delia could bring the materials out to his front yard so that the fire department official would not have to enter his home. But Delia again refused. As Delia would not cooperate, Filarski ordered him to produce the materials for inspection. Delia's counsel objected to Filarski's order and repeatedly threatened to sue the city, Filarski, and other individuals. Filarski prepared an order that the fire chief signed, directing the production of the materials. After the interview, Delia went to his house, brought the four rolls of insulation out on his lawn for the fire department officials to inspect. The fire department officials remained in their car, saw the insulation, thanked Delia, and drove away. As threatened by Delia's counsel, Delia filed suit against the city, numerous full-time city employees, and Filarski, asserting under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, deprivation of his Fourth and Fourteenth Amendment rights. The district court granted summary judgment to the individual defendants, including Filarski, on the basis of qualified immunity, and held that Delia had not demonstrated a violation of a clearly established right. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the grant of summary judgment to all defendants except Filarski. As to Filarski, the Ninth Circuit held that he could not seek qualified immunity because he was a private attorney and not a city employee. Before explaining the Supreme Court's reasoning behind its decision in Filarski, it is important to understand what qualified immunity is. Qualified immunity is a protection from liability and suit enjoyed by government actors on claims against them, asserting deprivation of federally protected rights. It is a doctrine derived from the common law. Under the Supreme Court's current jurisprudence, in order for a plaintiff to overcome an assertion of qualified immunity, a plaintiff must show a violation of a federally protected right and that the government actor's actions were objectively unreasonable in light of clearly established law. Because qualified immunity arises from the common law, the Supreme Court in Filarski looked to the practice of the common law and its general principles of tort immunities and defenses as they existed in 1871, the year in which Congress passed Section 1983. The court also considered, in reaching its decision, the policy reasons for recognizing immunity for governmental actors. As to the historical practices, the court noted that in the mid-19th century America, generally speaking, there was not a very clear conception of a professional office to which a political incumbent devoted his entire time. To a large extent, governmental functions were carried out by members of the public who temporarily or occasionally discharged public functions. For example, private lawyers like Abraham Lincoln were regularly engaged to conduct criminal prosecutions on the state's behalf, and public prosecutors continued to represent private clients. Based on these and similar facts, it is not surprising that the common law did not draw distinctions between public servants and private individuals engaged in public service in granting immunities. After itself discussing various examples, the court noted that the examples of persons receiving immunity for actions taken while engaged in public service on a temporary basis are as varied as the reach of government itself. Common law protection did not turn on whether individuals worked as a full-time government actor or as a part-time government actor. Based on this review of immunity under the common law, the court noted that immunity under Section 1983 should not vary depending on whether an individual working for the government does so on a full-time or part-time basis. With regard to the policy reasons, the court reasoned that none of the reasons existing for recognizing immunity under Section 1983 counseled against allowing private employees, like Filarski, from being allowed to assert the qualified immunity defense. The court reasoned that allowing individuals carrying out government functions on a part-time basis to assert qualified immunity protects the government's ability to perform its traditional functions without unwarranted timidity, which is the most important special government immunity-producing concern and is of vital importance. Also, allowing such individuals to assert qualified immunity would help to ensure that talented candidates are not deterred from public service and would prevent harmful distractions that hamper the work of the government. In the Filarski case, Filarski had 29 years with specific experience in conducting internal affairs investigations, while the city had no employee with anywhere near that level of experience. The court was concerned that without the ability to assert the defense of qualified immunity, such a talented individual would decline work with cities. As the court noted, if the city workers Filarski worked with could seek immunity, but he could not, Filarski could face liability when those in the city's employment with whom he worked closely would be immune. Finally, the court also noted that making distinctions based on the nature of the employment creates significant line-drawing problems, depriving state actors of the ability to reasonably anticipate when their conduct could give rise to liability, frustrating the purposes that immunity is meant to serve. Importantly, in its opinion, the court distinguished two of its prior cases, Wyatt v. Cole, 504 U.S. 158, and Richardson v. McKnight, 521 U.S. 399, in which it denied qualified immunity to private actors. The Wyatt case involved individuals using a state replevin law to compel a sheriff to seize disputed property, and then the individuals sought qualified immunity. The Filarski court easily distinguished Wyatt, as it involved no governmental agents, no governmental interests, and no government need for immunity. The more interesting discussion, however, concerned the Richardson case. The court had held in Richardson that guards employed by a privately owned prison facility could not seek qualified immunity, notwithstanding that public employee prison guards could seek qualified immunity. The Filarski court emphasized that Richardson was a narrow decision that did not foreclose all claims of immunity by private individuals. The court emphasized that Richardson involved, quote, a private firm systematically organized to assume a major, lengthy administrative task, managing an institution, with limited direct supervision by the government, undertaking that task for profit and potentially in competition with other firms, unquote. The court found that the various incentive characteristics of the private market present in the Richardson case would help to ensure that the private guards would not perform their public duties with unwarranted timidity or be deterred from that line of work. The court did not find those same concerns in the Filarski case, or in the typical case of a person hired by the government to assist it in carrying out its work. In Filarski, there were two concurring opinions. Justice Ginsburg wrote to express her view that even if Filarski can assert qualified immunity as a defense, that it ultimately needs to be decided whether he is actually entitled to qualified immunity under the qualified immunity analysis. In other words, for example, did Filarski violate clearly established law? Justice Sotomayor wrote to state that not every private person working for the government necessarily may assert qualified immunity, but that each such person must meet the test for conferring immunity. The importance of the Filarski case is that it creates a presumption that private individuals who perform work for the government on a less than full-time basis may assert qualified immunity as a defense to claims asserting rights under Section 1983, with the narrow exceptions present in Wyatt and Richardson. It does not mean that such private individuals will always be granted qualified immunity, but it is now clear that they can assert the defense.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.